advisement and move to the fifth case today. Mr. Nuffer.
May it please the court. My client is a mother of two from Thailand who was swept up in a DEA drug trafficking investigation. She was brought to the United States. Eventually, all charges against her were dropped. But before that happened, the DEA made her write letters to drug dealers in Thai prisons. And now the reward for that cooperation is our government wants to send her back to Thai prison, where she will face the very gangs that she informed on. The judge below denied my client's claim for asylum and protection under CAT in proceedings that were unfair and violated due process in four ways. First, the judge admitted incompetent and unreliable evidence against my client. Second, without a chance to respond to that evidence, the judge made up her mind on some significant rulings without even hearing from our side. Third, the court somehow failed to even make a transcript of the very hearing in which that evidence was admitted. And finally, after the close of the evidence, the judge, sua sponte, relied on my client's extradition to this country when in the lower court there was no evidence in that regard, and obviously our client had never had an opportunity to even challenge that. So let me discuss first the incompetent evidence, which was the Thai warrant. The problems with that, as you know from reading the brief, is first, the Thai warrant does not definitively identify my client. It says somebody named Vachery, last name unknown. It also says that person absconded. Now, Vachery is my client's first name, but the evidence in the record is that that's not an uncommon name in Thailand. There are 9 million people living in Bangkok. There is no competent evidence anywhere in the record that my Vachery is the one that's listed in the Thai warrant. The second problem with the Thai warrant is that it was issued 16 months after the alleged offense occurred. The government has offered no evidence whatsoever explaining the reason for that delay. The third problem, Thai warrant is multiple hearsay. It was based on a confidential unknown source. There's other letters. None of the hearsay declarants that have their name on any of the papers submitted to this with the Thai warrant ever appeared for any hearing, were ever subject to any cross-examination, and none of them ever laid any foundation as to how they know that my client is the one referred to in the Thai warrant.
I thought there was some document from the embassy linking that warrant to your client.
There's a cover letter, Judge, that how that happened was in the middle of the hearings below, the judge threw out an earlier translation of the Thai warrant and said, get us a new translation. Between master calendar hearings, our government asked for a new translation, and they said, give us, the new translation, and then somebody named Negawit gave a letter based on a form that our government provided to them and said, we confirm that there's an outstanding warrant.
For your client?
For somebody that has the same name as my client.
First name, last name.
But the last name is, there's a question about the spelling.
Somebody with the same first name, is there's a warrant.
Yes. Somewhere in Thailand, the same number.
But the embassy document used first and last name. It did
That's
not
correct.
Suffer from the same deficiency as the warrant itself.
That's correct. But I would offer to the court, and again, we had no opportunity to cross-examine any of these folks, but it looks to me like our government said, this is 4 years after this alleged warrant was issued, hey, we need you to confirm that there's this outstanding warrant, and confirm that there's some warrant out there for our client.
Well, and I thought the extradition record reflected that at the time she was extradited to the United States, she was wanted on this offense in Thailand, and that one of the conditions of her extradition was that she would be returned. Is that not part of the record?
I'm not sure.
And that's That's how the IJ's decision reads. That's the implication of her discussion of the extradition.
Was that specifically that she was wanted? There is a document in Exhibit Number 2 that appears to be dated April 24, 2001, that says that somebody with my client's last name, you know, will be returned after proceedings in this country. You're right.
On drug charges in Thailand.
That's correct.
Why isn't that good enough?
Well, it's hearsay, Judge, first of all, of course. But there's no foundation laid by anybody. If there's some investigation that ever occurred that somehow pinned my client to the Thai warrant, okay, because when the Thai warrant was issued, they didn't know who it was, right? Absconded, last name unknown. Now we get documents that, you know, we don't know who these declarants are that have made this connection. We just don't know. It's not in the record. The government never offered any evidence. So it's clear hearsay. It's prejudicial hearsay. And but that brings me to my next point. We never really had a chance to challenge that evidence. Okay? When the judge, it was at the July master calendar hearing, when the judge admitted this evidence. And when that happened, it was the first time that our client had seen, you know, the proceedings below were the first time she had ever seen any warrant against her. Okay? She testified to that on the record. First time we'd seen it at the July hearing, and obviously we weren't ready to prepare countervailing evidence, and yet the judge at the July hearing specifically ruled, based on those documents alone, without any chance to cross-examine anyone, that she was going to find my client inadmissible on for purposes of Section 212. Okay? We never had a chance to cross-examine, and therefore we feel like that was a clear violation of due process in that regard. Furthermore, the government has offered absolutely no evidence that the Thai warrant that was issued was ever based on probable cause. You'll notice that the Thai warrant was signed by a police officer. I think everybody assumes that warrants are executed the same way, you know, anywhere in the world.
No, they're not, but go ahead.
So
the assumption is they're in error. There's warrants are issued all different ways in all different parts of the world.
And that's exactly the point.
But the complaint about not having the evidence going in, it's hearsay. Most of the evidence put in these things are hearsay. Are they not during immigration matters?
Many are, but...
Most.
I would simply cite this court's Izinguana case, where it encountered a similar problem and held that hearsay of this kind, very troubling, should not have been admitted. It's got to be fundamentally
all right,
fair.
As long as it isn't troubling, is that...
It's got to be fundamentally fair. And my point is, show me somebody that can competently say, my client is the one at issue in the warrant.
That would be true in almost any case which it was a warrant. You'd have... That same objection could be made. For instance, supposing they had her full name, there's no indication that there aren't a lot of people in the country
right.
with the same full name. First and last. So how would you do it?
Well, I think you would, like in this country, you would try to rely on a Social Security number. In this country, we have big databases where some government official will go in and say, okay, we've verified.
First of all, they don't have access to the other government's databases. That's one.
Right.
Second thing, I doubt whether they have a Social Security number. So, you know.
I agree with you, but there's got to be somebody that links it up. Other than just give me a form letter and a conclusion.
How did they get her here?
They extradited her here to the United States.
Well, somebody must have had some indication that she's the one they're talking about then.
Well, are we going to assume my client into a...
Well, I'm not assuming.
Yeah. Well...
I don't... Are we... Well, don't, yeah. Let's not get chucked, right. old friend. I'm not involved. I'm just sitting here trying to say, what is it you want the government to produce? And by the way, we passed over that agreement to send back.
Right.
Is it a written agreement, or did you say?
It was just a letter. It was just a letter.
From whom to whom?
From the Embassy of the United States in Bangkok there.
Yes. said that we agreed that we'd bring her back.
Right. That's where she's going. I see my time is up. I'd like to reserve a little bit of time for rebuttal if there's no other questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Neffer. Mr. Potter?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Jonathan Potter on behalf of the Attorney General. The petitioner in this case has conceded that she is inadmissible because she committed drug crimes.
She didn't concede that.
It appears she did in her brief, Your Honor.
No, she didn't, Counsel. She conceded that she is inadmissible for other reasons.
Okay, Your Honor.
You're overreading the brief.
Okay.
So move on to
There is also probable cause in this record to believe that she is wanted in Thailand for serious non-political crimes. And the Thai warrant isn't really the issue here because, as the immigration judge found in her opinion, there is other evidence that the petitioner in this case provided. And I will read that other evidence. It comes from page 276 of the record. It is the paragraph 22 that she tried to back out of at her hearing.
Just read it.
That is when Kenya Soso told me that Ron sells drugs. She said that if I help Ron sell drugs, she could get money to help us get visas to come together to the United States. She asked me if I knew anyone who would have contact to sell drugs. I did not know anyone who sold drugs, but because I wanted to do something to help get my visa, I went to talk to a man, Sam, in the garment district. Sam was a black African-American man. This was the first time I asked him if he had contacts to sell drugs. He gave me the phone number of some woman in the United States. I gave the number to Kamya Sesso. She called that woman. I also called that woman once. But I did not know really what I was asking for. No one told me anything about buying or selling drugs. That occurred
That's your idea of a concession that she was involved in a drug traffic?
Well, Your Honor, if you look at the rest of the record and the warrant,
answer is no?
No, the answer is yes. She admits to have...
No. What you just read, you think that's a concession that she was in the drug traffic?
That she was involved in drug trafficking, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, I did not know there were drugs involved.
No, she did not say she did not know the drugs were...
That's what you just read to me.
I did not know really what I was asking for.
Go ahead. What's else? What's it say before that?
And no one told me anything about buying or selling drugs. But she says, I contacted people for drugs. How can she contact somebody for drugs and then say, I don't know, didn't know I was contacting them for drugs? At that same time, that's in 1998, the petitioner conveniently says, I don't remember dates throughout this affidavit. But 1998 is the date of the warrant in December of 1998. Apparently at that same time that she was involved in that drug trafficking.
What is the state of the record concerning the conditions of her extradition?
Your Honor, it appears that she was extradited to the United States with the agreement that she would be returned to Thailand after the proceedings here were concluded.
Is there some documentary evidence attesting?
There is a letter in the record that says that she will be returned to Thailand upon the conclusion
of
the
proceedings. Was that letter sent after she was involved in the proceedings here?
Yes, Your Honor. During those proceedings.
So it's post-event. It's not contemporaneously with her extradition.
Well, there's nothing in the record that says that there was an agreement beforehand, although I think that we read that letter to mean there was an agreement.
Well, there,
that's a memorialization.
There's nothing in the record to show that that it was beforehand or at the time simultaneously with the extradition. Where do you get the idea that there was such an agreement?
Well, Your Honor, from the record itself and from some of the letters included from her defense counsel.
At the time?
Her defense counsel includes many letters, three letters in this record.
In which they say the government of the United States says it will return her.
No, what they say, Your Honor, is instead of going forward with the government returning you to Thailand, if you assist and help make some deals for us, we will do everything we can within the immigration process to not return you to Thailand.
Even though, under your theory, they already had an agreement by signed by the embassy that they would return her, we're going to renew.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know if they were doing the old criminal defense thing of, I mean, criminal investigation thing of you know, leading.
We'll help you out, honey, but you help us first.
And the
and
problem.
They're not going to help her out at all.
Well, Your Honor, I think they were trying to possibly help her out, at least as far as a sentence. This is an odd case, the government
you
admits
bet.
That, because she was extradited over here, spent 3 years in confinement firing her attorneys, not cooperating with the government, going through a mental competency examination.
She did cooperate with the government, as I understood.
No, Your Honor. If you look at, I don't have the record, there's one last letter before they are ready to proceed to trial in her case where her defense counsel, her new defense counsel, who she's fired two others, one or two others before, new defense counsel says, please cooperate with the government so they can, you know, help you with your immigration issues and also help you get a lesser sentence here in the United States.
And what happened then?
After that, for whatever reason, it's not clear from the record, maybe the government's frustration, they decided just to send her back to Thailand to dismiss the charges.
They didn't give her a chance to follow through. They just
No, Your Honor, they gave her 3 years of chances to follow through on her agreement to come.
3 years she's in custody here.
Custody. And if you read the record, there's a letter from the prosecutor saying, we're going to do special things. If you help us out, we want to do special things for you. We're going to get you phone access, fax access, you know, things that are not normally in detention centers readily available to detainees or prisoners.
She did send the letters at the urging of the government.
It appears she may have sent some letters, but it also appears that those letters were not successful because the government was not satisfied with her assistance in this case.
She sent letters to Thailand?
It appears from her testimony, she says she sent letters, and I don't think there's any contradiction.
Does the government disagree that she sent the letters? The government says she did not, at their instigation, send letters to people in Thailand?
No, Your Honor, the government's not saying that. The government is saying that it appears from this record that those letters were not as helpful as the government had hoped.
Her cooperation didn't come up with what you wanted.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the cooperation wasn't there. It just means your idea of what the cooperation produced didn't happen.
That's correct, Your Honor. It she may have just, as any criminal investigation, when you talk to a defendant, you ask them to, you know, you're going to have to help us. We're not necessarily...
Not in any criminal investigation. I was involved in a few of them over the years, but go ahead.
So have I, Your Honor. Yeah. And you just...
Mine is fairly substantial.
So is mine, Your Honor.
State and federal.
State and federal for me, too, Your Honor.
Okay. So we stand in...
Yes, we do. We do, Your Honor.
But you're here in an immigration case.
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm here in an immigration case.
So let's get back to that. Is the extradition record itself in the record?
No, it is not, Your Honor.
All of the findings that the immigration judge made about the state of the immigration record are based on stuff that's not in the record.
Well, no, Your Honor, I wouldn't say that. She also made some substantial findings based on the statements made by the petitioner in this case, and that was you know, she says, I don't find her credible regarding paragraph 22. I don't find her credible saying I don't know anything about drugs, and it appears that the claim has shifted here in this court. She said, I absolutely know nothing about drugs, but now she's claiming, well, you know, I didn't know about drugs in Thailand before this court, but
right. The legal basis for the immigration judge's decision here was strictly on the issue of her ineligibility for any form of discretionary relief because she's wanted in Thailand on a drug trafficking offense.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But all we have in the record, so far as I can tell, about that is this warrant with first name, last name unknown, for which the first translation was bad. So we've got a second translation now, and then an embassy letter that appears to link that to her.
Well, yes,
but
no,
we don't
Your Honor.
Have anything about the original extradition of this petitioner to the United States. I mean, usually in a state-to-state extradition, if the sending state wants the prisoner back, there's going to be some documentary evidence of what they want that prisoner back for. And apparently we don't have any of that here.
Your Honor, we do, though. On page 463, there's information in there regarding she's wanted in Thailand for heroin charges.
Okay, and what is that?
It is
specifically.
This was part of a drug investigation that was both in Thailand and the United States. And this document at page 463 discusses that. And it discusses, it's a little bit self-congratulatory. It says that we've been, Acapo was arrested, pled guilty, and is currently serving 7 years in federal detention center for conspiracy to distribute heroin. Somebody else was arrested and extradited from Bangkok to the United States, Northern District of Illinois, for conspiracy to distribute heroin. In September 2003, at a hearing in which Vachery requested and wanted to plead guilty, the judge ordered Vachery to have a competency hearing. Vachery was offered a maximum of 7 years, but said she would only plead guilty 20 years sentence. She's not provided any help, and she's Vachery in order the United States Attorney's Office in Northern District of Illinois dropped charges against Vachery in order to allow her to return to Thailand to face Thai narcotics charges.
Well, who's the document from?
That's not really. I believe it is I believe it's a translation of the document in front of it, which is a Thai document.
We're not sure.
But that was before the immigration judge.
We don't know who it's from or what it is.
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure, right? I think it's identified in the record. I just can't remember exactly who this document is from. It's identified in the beginning, a hearing by the attorney for the government.
Do we have a transcript of that hearing?
You don't have a there's one hearing that apparently was not transcribed, and that's common in immigration proceedings for calendar hearings. That is something that if petitioner's counsel would have contacted me, what is generally done in those circumstances is we get the tape. And in those, we don't have contact with EOIR. We have a wall between us and EOIR because of conflict interest issues, even though they're in the Department of Justice. So we would have to go through a contact point and get those tapes. And generally in those circumstances, we ask the petitioners to transcribe them.
But here, the only way we know who the document came from or who it went to was on the transcript that doesn't exist in the record.
I think that document is also described earlier, Your Honor, but I'd have to check on that. If there are no further questions, I ask that this court affirm the decision. Thank you.
Let me just clarify something. The document that opponent was reading from, according to our information, was introduced first at the May 27, 2004 hearing. That's the hearing where the judge threw out the prior translation of the Thai warrant. In the record, you'll see that the judge just threw all that stuff in there without marking it as an exhibit and identified it as pre-decision materials. And so the document doesn't say who it's from or what it is. It's clear hearsay, and I would suggest it's very prejudicial to my client. I see the time's
gone. Give me another minute.
Okay. But the whole problem with the extradition is that at the May hearing, the judge, told counsel, look, this Thai warrant is not much evidence. You need to bring somebody in from DEA to tell us, what's going on. What is the basis for the federal charge, and why was it dismissed? The judge repeatedly said, you need to bring those folks in, and the counsel said yes. For some reason, they made it a strategy decision not to bring that in. And so we had no opportunity to, or reason for my client to come in and try to prove her innocence in the federal case because it was never introduced. And then the judge, when she gets around to writing her opinion, all of a sudden she's drawing all kinds of conclusions on the extradition. Well, that's not fair. And so we respectfully submit that our client has never had a reasonable opportunity to challenge the evidence presented against her. We didn't even get a chance to talk about cat protection, but we think that even on this record, on this unfair hearing, the evidence is more than sufficient to establish that it's more likely than not that she will be tortured if she's sent back. Thank you.
Thank you. You took this case by appointment, did you, Mr. Huffer?
No, it's a pro bono case.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.